Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Real Talk with Ben podcast. Hope you had an amazing week. I hope you were able to just maybe kick back, enjoy this nice weather. I know I've been gone for like over a week. I'll get to that in this episode. It's kind of fun to talk about. But yeah, I hope you did enjoy this last week of just sunshine and summer weather. It can be hot, but you know, we enjoy it together. And once again, if you're new, my name is Ben, and this is my podcast where I talk about life. I talk about ministry. I talk about things like I'm going to talk about today that just happened in my life that I hopefully will share with you, that you'll get some encouragement. And ultimately, I just want God to get the glory. And like I always say, I hope you stick around. I hope you enjoy this. I hope you enjoy maybe some of my other videos if you go on my YouTube. And hopefully that will bring you encouragement as well. So what am I going to talk about today? First off, you got to figure out where I was, because yes, I was gone, for a little bit. I was hoping to get an episode in last week. But that obviously didn't happen. I was doing, I was reffing basketball camp, for a week for women's basketball team down at Cedarville. They have like a team camp where all these high school teams come in and you just ref and ref and ref. It's definitely very tiring. I tell people that it's probably one of the most tiring weeks I've ever had. You know, there's other things obviously that make you more tired when it comes to doing camps and stuff, like individual camps, also tiring. And I know this is not normally like a sports talk podcast, and that's not really what this is about, but I really wanted to talk about this because there are things that I've noticed while reffing, because as you're a ref, you're probably the most hated person on the court. It's just a reality. I've coached before. I know how much I can't stand the ref sometimes when I'm watching a game. And first off, I realize just how hard the job is. I realize that every year I do it. But then secondly, I also realize just how poorly that we can be treated as refs. And you know, we're not even licensed refs. We don't do this for a living. We do this to help out the programs and to really give back. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that in two phases, and two different sections, really. Because I, like I said, I've loved sports my whole life. I have, you know, fell in love with sports at a very young age. I have always loved playing sports. Once I couldn't play anymore, you know, obviously I did the coaching side of things, and I've been able to do that in two different sports. It's a fun thing. It's fun. But I've realized something, that what makes a good coach and what makes a bad coach. You know, there's two halves to coaches, right? There's, you know, the good coaches and the bad coaches. And I'm not saying that, you know, all good coaches have every great attribute, because we all are human and we all fail and we all struggle. But I can tell you that while I've been reffing, and while I was reffing, I'm actually going back. I'm recording this a few days early and going to post it because I got to go ref the men's games now. But I can tell you that there are two sides to coaching. There's the good coaches and the bad coaches. And I was able to see that. You know, I remember one of my first times ever reffing. Before I get into these things, but I'm going to go back to, I think it was like 2016, maybe. Kind of like when I first started doing the summer, I would help the programs ref in the summer. And I remember a coach just, you know, cussed me out, laid into me. And the first thought I came by was that how could you do that when you know this is summer ball? And if you're an athlete, you know, especially if you play basketball, for example, because this is what I've been reffing, you know that summer league honestly means about zero. It's more of to get the young players playing, to get you in shape, maybe get back in the basketball condition, or you know, you want to start a new offense or whatever, but it's not something that you're going to go out and you're winning these tournaments. I mean, 90% of the time, most of these games are you know, you know which team's better just by looking at them, no matter if you play your backups or not. Different types of teams. And that was when I first realized just how, really just how like coaches can be so derailing, not just to the refs, right? Like I felt terrible, you know, standing there with my whistle in my mouth and this coach is here in my ear yelling and screaming and that. But you see the players, like some players, they might be embarrassed. Some players, they're frustrated. They're doing the same thing as their coaches. And I'm going to get into that more in a bit. But I'm just saying, like, as a referee, you know, perspective, and I'm starting to realize this now, like, as I'm going to go, you know, hopefully go to coaching in the future, I'm realizing, like, how I have to mind myself because I've been in that ref side. And it's demoralizing because you're just trying to do your job. And especially in summer when this is not your job. This is not what you normally do. You're just trying to help out. You know the game, but you're not a professional. You don't know how to ref necessarily perfectly. And I was able to see that over this last week from good and bad. And I wanted to use that example from 6 years ago or whatever, because that was like when I first started and I was terrified as a ref. Now I kind of have this like thicker skin where it's kind of like, you know, you just take it and you deal with it. Sometimes it's more entertaining that they get mad at you because either you know you're doing your job or you're not doing your job. At least you know what you're doing, right? But that doesn't excuse what they're doing. And so I wanted to spend today to talk about the two different sides and then finish up by summarizing. I want to talk about the good coaches first, right? Like let's talk about the good coaches because I'll tell you, 80, 90% of the coaches that I dealt with last week were amazing. Some of the most nice, like some of the nicest people you'll ever meet, the kindest, the most understanding. They're willing to listen to, you know, help you out maybe and just, or they'll listen to you about what you're seeing about their players or whatever. And I kind of categorize that this is the three things I see of a nice coach, right? Number one, they listen to their players. Right? Like if their players are struggling or their players know that this certain thing could work, they're going to do it. Right? Number two, they have a, not necessarily a laid back, you know, persona, because I know a lot of great coaches that don't have a laid back and they're up and going or whatever, but they're laid back against the referees. And especially in summer league, like they're not going to be the one that's going to be in you. They might say something to you like, hey, how was that a foul? Or what did you see? But they're able to do that. And I think the third one is this, is there a great leader of respect, a great leader of respect. And what I mean by the great leader of respect is that they are willing to be the first to show how you act towards other coaches, other players and referees. I mean, for example, last week, there was a team for the second half of the week. That was they're a really good team. There was a girl that was she gets frustrated all the time, got really angry at times. And started talking to me, right? Like disrespectfully a little bit. And their coach stepped in very quickly, you know, kind of pushed her aside and said, hey, let me talk to you. I apologize for this. I'll take care. That is a leader of respect. That is a leader of saying that there is authority and that I will take the lead. Because when I get in talking about the bad side of coaches, right? There's two sides of coaching, right? Good and bad. When I get into the bad side of coaching, and I'm not saying that every bad coach either is a terrible coach. They might just have a couple things that are really just that make you cringe and then make you frustrated. And then that makes them seem like a bad coach. But in reality, they just have these few things they had to work through. I'll get into that in a second. But a good coach has those three things, right? Like I've always seen it from being a student assistant at CRVO for 3 years. And I've seen it from, you know, coaching football for 1 year I did. And like, you see the good and the bad. You see what is good and you see what is bad. And you're always going to see that. And you see that in every person, right? I think that goes generally into as a person, what we need to be. Like, if we can be someone that leads with good respect in the workplace, or someone that leads in, you know, making sure that they listen to their coworkers, or they are laid back when it comes to when they hear something from their boss, that they're willing to say, okay, can I hear it out? Can we just talk about it? Those are the kind of people, not just in coaching, but in the world that you want to be around, you want to associate with. think about the best coaches in the world. There are coaches that you want to be around because they have these good traits. They might not have completely good traits, right? But for a majority of the time, they have amazing traits that you want to be around, that you want to be a part of, that you want to make this your living, or you want to be a part of this team because this makes you feel like you have kind of just the ability to progress in your own walk or your own life, right? So that's a good side of coaching, right? And here's the bad side of coaching. And boy, did I see a lot of this, right? But like I said, there's 80%, 90% of the coaches are great. It's only about 10 to 15, 20% that are just, okay, struggling a little bit. First off, I'll just tell you that there were multiple coaches last week that would not respect either our calls or would just somehow not remember that we were like either college students or former college students that are helping out, that are doing this as a little part-time job, that we have not really much experience outside of summer league games to ref, right? And the things they would say, the way they were rude, and they would just, you just walked in and you're like, you hated to go to this game. Like there was one team for sure, and I won't name the team because I'm not that guy, but there was one team that we all would look at our little of the games we have in the afternoon. We're like, oh yes, don't have that team. Or dang it, we have that team. Unfortunately, I think we got that. I think my group got that team like, I think four times. And it's so funny because I remember I was with two other girls and they were always looking at me like, you take that side, right? Like I took a lot of blunt from that coach. But it's one, it's just part of the job as a ref. You're going to take that anyways, like I said. But then you have to sit in the back of your mind and go, this is summer league. Like who cares, right? Like at the end of the day, like we're going to call the best fouls we can call. We're going to call the best calls we can see. We're going to miss calls. It's reality. We're humans. Sometimes I always want to look at the coach and say, do you think you could do better, right? But I don't. Because in reality, this is just, it's the reality we live in, that people are not going to necessarily see the way things are because they don't have that mindset. I can tell you I've seen the characteristics of a bad coach many times. And I could go on and on. I'm sure we all out here could label a coach that we've had that we just can't stand, right? Or we think is terrible. Because at the end of the day, we know what we want in a coach. We want someone that I listed before that listens to you, that's going to stand up for you, but it's going to be understanding. And it's going to show leadership and respect. And I can tell you with some of these coaches that struggle with this and struggle with that, they might have that personality of being very arrogant or very, I'm a Hall of Famer. And sometimes I have to remind myself and I want to remind them that, hey, you're coaching middle school basketball or you're coaching JV, you know, high school basketball or even varsity basketball. You know, I always say, unless you're the John Woodens of the world, it's very hard for me to go, you are the greatest of all time. But I remember, for instance, to go kind of on that, is there was a middle school coach last week that, I'm not kidding you when I say this, was getting very angry at his girls. He would yell, be very vulgar with things. And honestly, he would tell the refs all these different things. And at one point, I'm doing the score clock. At one point, I just said, dude, just stop it. Close your mouth. Let them play. They're middle school. They're trying to learn about basketball. Some of these girls might not even know if they want to play basketball for the long term. They just want to have fun. And you're ruining that fun. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I see in a coach, especially maybe at the JV middle school level, even at the varsity level a little bit, is they don't let their girls or their boys have fun when they play. They're so in it to win it. And especially in summer league, this should be the time where you let people enjoy the game of basketball. And you never see that. So that's the one thing, right? The first thing would be fun, right? Letting your kids, and if they don't see that, they're not going to have fun. And I think that goes on the good side, right? Like they want to let their kids have fun. I remember seeing a coach that drew up banana swirl as a play, right? Like he just wanted to have fun with his team, you know? And so yeah, that's number one, is like not having fun. I think number two is they don't listen to their players. I mean, there was a coach the last part of the week, it was a varsity coach. They had six players. First off, why are you bringing them to a tournament with six players? It's beyond me, right? he would just rip into them. And I mean, just yell at them, tell them things that I'm just like, you are embarrassing yourself and your team. When you don't listen to your players and your players are almost like they're your, I hate to say property because that sounds terrible, but like you're in charge and you want to make sure that they know you're in charge. Like it's your team. You ain't going to listen to them. I've had those coaches before, and I'll tell you, we never won games. When it's about you and not about your players and not about the team, then you'll never win games. And by the way, that sets a terrible example for your team, which is the second thing. If you're not willing to step aside and lead with respect, but also lead with the way that you teach. If you teach that I'm the best, then that means you're going to have a player that thinks they're the best. They're going to have another player that's going to think of it, and you're always going to clash. And you're never going to have a team that is going to be successful. You don't see teams that are successful with a coach that all he thinks about is themselves, unless they have the most amazing talent in the world and somehow they just played bad teams. I've been on a team where we had the most talent in the world, but we had coaches and players that just did not care about each other, about the team. They wanted to glorify themselves. I think that is one of the biggest things that we need to learn as I think not just players or coaches, as people, is that it's not about what we can do. And if we're Christians, it's definitely not about what we can do. It's what God has given us the ability to do, and we use that for his glory. And as I'm reffing last week, and as I'm seeing all these different things, as I'm seeing the way some of these coaches treat their kids, no wonder the players talk back to us refs. I mean, there were times where players, every single play, it felt like they would talk back to us. Oh, that was a foul. You're not calling it. You're terrible. Da 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 da. And their coaches were doing the exact same thing. No wonder those players do that, because if their coaches are doing that, the players are going to do it. So as a coach, I said good coaches, right? They lead with respect. Good coaches lead with respect. Bad coaches tend to lead with saying that I'm the best and I'm going to do things the way I see fit, which then that shows that you don't care about the refs. You don't care about showing your girls or your boys how it is to be a leader on and off the court. And I think that is one of the biggest things that we have to deal with, I think, in the world, in the coaching world. So, you know, I've said those few things for good coaches. I've said these few things for bad. It's not really good and bad coaches. I hate using that. It's more of like the good side of coaching, the bad side of coaching, those characteristics, right? And I think part of the reason why I wanted to talk about this today was just because, like, I think we're tending to have, and I'm seeing it more and more, is coaches that are on the bad side, right? Like the bad side of coaching. That all they care about is themselves. All they care about is the titles. All they care about is the state championships. You know, and to an extent, that's great, right? It's great if you want to move up in the coaching world, or if you want to, you know, bring success to your school. I'm all for it. But if that's all you're worried about, and especially, I don't know why Summer League just keeps going, but especially in Summer League, right? Like some of these players, they're playing two other sports, or they're getting ready for their fall season, not even in basketball yet. Coaches should focus on what you need to focus on. Preparing, building your program, having players play that wouldn't get to play normally in the regular season because maybe they're not ready yet. Play them. I just wish once that coaches would stop making it about themselves and make it about their players. I think some of the best coaches in the world, right? I think of Ryan Day from Ohio State. I think of Greg Popovich. I think of, I can think of so many other ones. I'm blanking on a lot of coaches' names. But the idea of like they're very much building a chemistry or building a team chemistry or an atmosphere, right? Like a team atmosphere that is built around a team success. Like I think about Ohio State and what they went through this past year where they only played 8 games and you had a quarterback that wanted to lead. He could have left, right? He could have left to go to the NFL. He could have said, I'm not playing this year. But you had him and a coach and an athletic director. They cared about playing as a team to win championships. That is what winning championships is about. When it brings not only your school success, but it brings the team success. It shows what your culture is like. That's what I meant, culture. There we go. Dabo Sweeney is another one, right? Like culture is what matters. Nick Saban, culture is what matters. If you don't have the right culture, if you don't have the right culture as a coach, if you don't have the right culture as saying, hey, it's not about me as a coach, and it's not about you as players. It's how do we show ourselves on that court? I always hated when I played and we would, you know, we would leave the court after a loss and it felt like it carried over to the next day at classes or whatever. Like some of my favorite coaches were, they were like, look, we leave this here, right? We're friends outside of here, right? Like we go to battle, we do this. Outside of this, we're still a family, but outside of this, we don't talk about what happened on the court. We talk about life. We talk about other things that are important. Some of the best coaches that I knew. You know, coaching football was a new experience for me. And one of the greatest things about Coach McGill is that he makes sure that the culture that he instills is instilled in his coaches and is instilled in his the parents, and making sure that everyone knows what the culture is and knows what everyone is expected to do. As a team, we should be, any team really, the focus should be not on trying to correct refs, not on trying to correct each other, not on trying to yell at your players or players yelling at their coach. There should be a mutual respect knowing that this is the game that has been created for people to enjoy. And that's what the first thing should be, is fun and enjoyment. I'm going to finish it up with the Christian side of it. As a Christian athlete, you should be the first one to show respect. You should be the first one to listen to your teammates, to listen to your coaches, or if you're a coach, to listen to your players or listen to the refs. You should be willing to step aside and say, this is not about me. This team is not mine. This is God's team. This is saying, God, you lead me how you want me to lead. Show me what I need to do. And at the end of the day, I think you'll have a successful season. You'll have a successful year. Because in reality, that is what matters. What matters is that we focus on what we should focus on. Not what we think we should focus on, what we should focus on. So whether you're a coach and whether this actually applies to you at all, whether this whole episode applied to you at all, or maybe you're just that worker that goes to work every single day, or that boss that has a bunch of workers underneath him. How about let's have that respect. Do we want to be like some of the greatest coaches of all time that listen to their players, listen to their coworkers? Or do we want to be that coach that denies the respect to their coworkers because, oh, they're not as good as me. I'm at a higher stature. Or maybe you're a coworker and you look at your boss like, ah, he's a sucky boss. What makes him a sucky boss? You should respect him no matter what. He's an authority. And I think at the end of the day, if we focus on what we should focus on, and that is Christ, then all of this shouldn't even be an issue because we know what is the focus of every single day. No matter if we have frustrations, I'm not saying that there's going to be no frustrations, but frustrations are handled in a respectful way and they're going straight to God first. That's what matters. So I hope this was an encouragement to you. I hope you understand why I didn't have an episode last week. And I hope that this maybe got you to think a little bit if you're in the sporting world, or if you're not, you know, whatever. But I hope you did enjoy. And if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, make sure you like and favorite on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. You know, just I hope you enjoy more of these. I might change it up. Who knows? I'm always changing. So, and if you liked watching and listening on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button, hit the subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That will allow you to see all of my videos, all of my podcast episodes, all the other goofy, weird videos that I've done in the past that are quite cringy and embarrassing. But hope that you enjoy them, and hopefully you have a great rest of your week. And once again, I remind you this, we serve an amazing God, and He is faithful. We can trust Him. And as always, we'll talk next time.